fucks when I go nuts. Yeah, no fucks when I go nuts, cause I smoked us, overdose on the sofa. Yeah. I give no fucks when I go nuts, cause I smoked us, overdose on the sofa, dead. Woke up from a coma, pulled up in a soda, smoke went back to bed. Never thought I'd be such a loner, I tell my bitch that I fucking own her. My neighbor's daughter just got a dog, I'ma run it over, I'm a fucking soldier. So cobra, fuck pneumonia.
Love a Thursday night game on Fox, by the way. It's nice that I can actually watch it. Because who the fuck pays for Comcast anymore and watches games on NFL Network? Fucking dorks. You dorks.
I mean, we get stuff in 4K. You got to stream your shit on glitchy internet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
I got my
You totally win.
I got my HD antenna tonight.
You hanging your HD antenna and asking people for passwords all the time. Yeah, streaming is not the future, it's the now. Yeah.
Which, by the way, thanks for your password. Appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, appreciate that. here's what I'm dealing with right now. Playing a little bit hurt this week. I've had a kid who has had a cold for 2 weeks, basically. It's a cold. Like, took her to the doctor, ran through the COVID test, all that good stuff, and all that's negative. No flu, nothing, just a cold. But nowadays, if your kid has a cold, they ain't going anywhere. Like, they're not going to school. Like, if she has even a little bit of a cough, they're like, no, she can't come. As a matter of fact, she needs another COVID test before she can come back. They literally said that, by the way. She's going back next week, but my goal over the last couple of weeks has been to like just hammer my immune system with like echinacea. I'm doing those airborne things. Like, I'm just like, I cannot, like, my phone or my job involves like me talking on a phone a bunch. And so it's like, I can't have that duh, voice all day long for my job. I can't do it. And so today, like, she is now with her mom. And I avoided it. And then, like, literally the same night I hand her off, I start, like, my nose gets stuffy. And it's like, motherfucker, it's been, like, almost 2 weeks. And I avoided it. So last night, I found some Afrin in my my drawer or whatever. And I fucking hit that shit up. And it has been a while for me doing Afrin, and I don't know if you guys have done it before, but Afrin is like crack cocaine, basically. Like, it's amazing what it does, it completely clears everything out. Like, it smells like menthol or something. I don't know what the fuck it might actually be. I have no idea.
I always felt it was like, you know, you get water from a pool up your nose, that chlorine.
That's pretty good, actually. But it's like, so my nose is completely unstuffed, but it's like your body is feeling like it's supposed to be sick. Like, your body's like, the nose is supposed to be stuffed. The rest of us is not great right now. Somehow the nose is unstuffed and you have this like rush because of whatever the hell's in Afrin. By the way, I'm not going to look because I don't want to know. I just know it gets the job done for right now. And so, I'm just like, my headspace is all weird. So if you guys want to go ahead and just drive the ship, feel fucking free is all.
Well,
I'm saying.
Welcome to someone that has allergies living in the valley.
Yeah.
I probably go through a shit ton of Afrin over the course of a year.
It really is sort of a miracle, man. Like, it really is amazing. Like, I don't know. It can't be good for you, but it's amazing how quickly it clears up your sinuses. It's amazing.
Ski, if you are calling it the valley, right?
Ooh. Yeah.
What do you call Interstate 5?
It's obviously the 5.
Yes.
You loser.
Yes.
Losers. Both of you, complete losers. Go back to California.
Listen, you got to take the 206 or the Delta.
What do you take to get to the 5? Do you take the Beltline, you loser?
Yes, it's 100% the Beltline.
God, the worst. What's it like being the worst? Jesus. The 5.
The five.
You might as well be from the Bay Area. Like, you might as well be from San Francisco.
I'm just saying. It's the five.
God. Not around these parts, son.
I mean, I don't mean to discount the parental hardship of a cold.
I know, right?
Like, I did have to take one of my sons to get two pins in his wrist this week. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just both, look at this shit now. I mean, your daughter, I mean, we would have had to go to school. You know, you got to be almost in a coma for you not to go to school. And then I fractured my wrist about the same age your son did. And they barely like even put me in a cast, let alone shove some pins in there. And my shit's all fucked and cracking all the time.
Want to hear something funny?
I would like to hear the story about how he needs pins in his wrist.
And then also
your immediate response to the injury. I would also like to hear that.
Well, so I was not there for the injury.
Okay.
It was on a Sunday in October. Equinox had not yet befallen upon the Willamette Valley. The autumn wind is a pirate. The broken wrist is a raider. So he's there. He's watching his, you know, fellow 8-year-old cousin play a little soccer. And I mean, like any American, he's really not interested in soccer. So he's off to the side. Playing,
blowing on a vuvuzela by himself in the corner,
playing quote unquote tackle football, you know what I mean? But with kids that are, you know, roughly like 8 to 11, you know, there's like 6 of them, I guess.
No respect.
And he, you know, he's like the galloping ghost, is what they call them. You know, he cuts back, he looked like Reggie Bush against Fresno State right across the field, and he's rumbling, he's bumbling. He's stumbling. And at the goal line, it's like a fifth grader hits him, tackles him.
TJ Ward coming out of the same.
But he got six. He got six. So, he scored, but he came up. And that wrist was pointing up in a direction it shouldn't. And then the actual, like, arm bone looked like a U. And so the wife called me and was like, oh, I think Ben might have hurt his wrist because Bennett never cries. And I was like, eh.
He's fine. Tell him,
rub some pickle juice on it. It'll be fine. And she immediately left the game and came home. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's broken.
Oh, yeah. We should go to the hospital.
Yeah, right now. You know, two weeks, you know, a few doctor visits later, they finally decided that it just wasn't healing right. And they had to.
That's
stick some pins in it.
The emergency room Sunday at like 6 or 7 or whatever that was.
It went urgent care and then ER room on a Sunday.
Oof.
And then some Slocum visits and then a surgery. Oh boy.
Good way to finish out your week.
I think I hit that deductible real.
I was going to say, way to fill out that deductible right before the end of the year. Nice work.
Good God. I mean, if I got to get cancer, give it to me now. It's free for a couple months.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
Yeah, you hit that family deductible. There you go.
Yeah, lymphoma hits me. I'm fine for a bit.
Hit that out-of-pocket max. Now's the time to hurt yourself. Go jump off some roofs or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
Yeah, like, he's fine.
Yeah. I like the TJ Ward reference, by the way, Ski. That brought back some Zach Robinson memories, Oklahoma State. He bent that person in half in a football game. That was.
I mean,
does he get a flag for that nowadays?
Oh, absolutely. It's at least reviewed.
He led with the shoulder. TJ Ward was all about that. He'd like hit you as hard as he possibly could with his like whole body turned sideways. So I don't know.
Yeah, but he was a headhunter though with that shoulder.
Yes, he was. Yeah. The D boys do not finish a lot of football games. I'll say that.
if that happens now, that is a 10-minute review where they don't call it. They, you know, say on the call on the field stands, you know, first down, Oklahoma State, whatever. But
it's crazy thinking back on that game. Dez Bryant played in that football game. Dez Bryant had, he had like 130 receiving yards in the first half and then got hurt and then didn't play the rest of the game. And then Oregon suddenly ran away with the football game. So yeah, that works. All right. So there are quite a few things, like, well, I guess not quite a few, but there are some fairly significant things to talk about. Obviously the Oregon game, but the, like the Rolovich situation is really fascinating. So if you haven't heard and don't pay attention to Washington State football, which I don't blame you, Nick Rolovich refused to get a vaccine. They played last Saturday, and because the state law was enforced at that point, everybody who wasn't vaccinated had to wear a mask. And so that included all the coaches on the sideline. And I got to say, a fair majority of them were wearing masks. And then the university, because, you know, they have their own rules and they, you know, they take it more seriously than the football coaching staff clearly does, they fired him. So Nick Rolovich decided to, you know, I guess the end result for me, the way I'm looking at it, thinking about it, is Nick Rolovich said goodbye to millions of dollars and a head coaching job at a quote unquote major university because of some shit Jenny McCarthy said about 20 years ago. So good riddance. Don't let the door hit you. You're a dumbass. Like, get the vaccine. Don't be silly. I guess I understand, you know, the personal choice aspect of this, but if it's a matter of your job and your livelihood and, you know,
it's money, the well-being
of like the kids you have been entrusted with, that sort of thing. Get the vaccine, dude.
He's turning out money. It's like, I'll take, is there any kind of random vaccines out there?
Some extras.
I'll take $3 million to I'll get a hit of it. Sure.
Give me 5G sperm for $3 million a year for the next 4 years. I'm spraying that shit all down. I don't care. I will take that demon spawn sperm all day.
Inject Bill Gates' sperm into my shoulder. I'll take $5 million
for $3 million a year.
Whoa. Big if true.
Hey, it's 2021.
Don't
shame Dave Chappelle. Don't shame.
No. To each their own. No, I'm not. I'm not that there's anything wrong with that.
I just said I would taste and then say I would swallow. I just said a little dab.
Just a dab.
I have a line. Even for $3 million, I have a line.
I don't know. Any thoughts on Rolovich? I was sort of surprised how many Washington State fans I saw who were fully on board with him being fired. And there it's like, because, you know, in terms of football, he was okay. I think, you know, coming off of Leach was kind of a lot to live up to in terms of, you know, I guess stature, and he did certain things really, really well, even if it didn't, you know, result in Pac-12 championships. And I don't know that, like, Pac-12 championships for Washington State is going to be a huge uphill battle anyways, but I think the product on the field was sort of moving in the right direction from what they took over.
Yeah, they won three straight, so sure.
Yeah. By the way, they won his last game, and then he was subsequently fired.
And looking back on that, on the film of that last game, I mean, they gave him the Gatorade bath on the field, and then in the locker room, they did a Rolo, Rolo, Rolo chant. I think they knew.
They got it.
I think everyone kind of knew that was his final game. And not even taking like a moral, like, get the vaccine. I know people fucking are rolling their eyes at vaccine talks. I mean, I've seen you guys. I get it. You're tired of it.
Tired of hearing about it. Yeah.
I get it. It's not just like, oh, the health and safety of him and his team. By him not getting the vaccine, and granted, I think it was four other assistants that didn't get the vaccine, and they were let go on the same day. But by not getting the vaccine, every single assistant and GA and fringe, you know, contract worker, whether it's video or whatever, by him being gone now,
they're gone
next year.
Yeah.
Like, maybe a couple of them will be retained, but basically the rest of the staff is going to be looking for a job, and good for them, I guess. I mean, we don't know.
Maybe well, let's keep
behind closed doors, but I could not have been professional, honestly, the last like month. Like, dude, you are playing with my livelihood.
Yeah, I make like 50,000. I realize you make 5 million. I make 50,000. This is my livelihood. It's really hard to find jobs in this industry.
You are the, you know, quote unquote leader of men, and you are not leading us. Sorry, like, and that's not even like a scientific or a philosophical. That is just a real life money thing.
Personal. Dude, leadership, boss.
You are not
building.
Taking care of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I would have sat it out. I would have not done anything to be fired if I was like, was it Jason Dickert, who is now the interim coach, I think. Cool. I wouldn't have said anything to get fired because I need the next, you know, 2 months of paychecks. But goddamn, I don't think I could have sat in a meeting and been like, you want to know what? This Rolovich guy, real good leader, real. Because if you look back at it, he had no intention for the longest time of getting vaxxed. And he had set up his legal defense because they ping ponged back a lawsuit within 24 hours. He was setting it up the whole time.
We first learned during Pac-12 Media Day because he didn't go.
Yes.
Because he couldn't go. Yeah. Imagine just put yourself in that scenario in your workplace. So like, I don't know how big your team is, King, but like mine is around, I want to say it's around like 10 people or something like that. If my supervisor was doing something for personal reasons that made it so our entire team was going to lose their jobs, can you imagine working for that person? I couldn't.
Nope,
I could
absolutely not. Absolutely
not. I would go above his head and say, get this guy out of here. Like, yeah. I want to keep my job. I want you to know that I have nothing to do with this. I'm trying to keep my job because I got a kid to take care of. Screw this guy. Like, if you need to get him out of here, get him out of here. Fine.
Get him out.
Like, let's make it clear that I want to keep my job. I'd be doing that all day. Like,
100%.
I don't care if the guy hired me in the first place. Like, I'm not trying to spend, you know, 6 weeks on unemployment looking for a new job. You know what I mean? And I know these guys aren't doing that, but I'm just saying, like, if you personalize this situation, fuck him. Bye. You know, yep. Why would I be loyal to you? You're not being loyal to me. Like, fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one guy that was hired. Man, I want to say it was like March of this year, and he sort of lied about his position on the vaccines. Not sort of, he did.
Yeah.
Not, he wasn't a decision maker by any stretch, but he, good for him, he parlayed it into working from home forever because he's the one guy that refuses to get the vax.
Good work if he can get it.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
Can't do that as a head football coach.
No, you can't do. Yeah. Yeah, and you can't do that. You know, you read some of like the fringe people kind of supporting Rolo, and they're like, well, they could just drive 6 miles into Idaho and practice. No, they could. They can't play games there.
No, they can't. No. And by the way, you really want the university to spend their money on that? Like that's a good use of public funds? Like, come on, man.
But before he you know, filed this lawsuit. Do you guys think he was a good enough coach to get hired somewhere else, like for next year? Is it because I kind of think I think now there's just too much baggage. Like, why the fuck would you want this guy who's a very average coach?
Maybe Mountain West at best, FCS for sure.
For sure. Like, he could get an FCS job like tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, like Bobby Petrino got a couple of jobs after.
Right.
Yeah. Petrino actually had at least, you know, one good year in there.
That's very true. Yeah, Petrino was definitely a better coach, but
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if he's a good enough coach to.
Well, and like if I was, I'm picking a random school, SMU, whatever. And they're like, oh, well, Sonny Dykes has moved on. Rolovich kind of runs a similar system. I just don't think the way he handled the lead up into all of it, where he just mumbled and said nothing, just mumbled, no eye contact, saying nothing for 4 months now. I don't think I could. It's not even a moral stance. I just don't think that guy can be a leader. I just. And a Cougar fan can ping pong me back and say, ah, well, Jason DeLora loves him. Did you see that video he posted? Okay, that's fine. I just think he's, I couldn't hire that person now.
Yeah. Also worth noting that college kids will change their opinion of people in a matter of hours.
Yes.
So
yes. By the way,
let's not overstate that.
Whatever happened with DeLore, didn't he get like a DUI or something like right before the season started?
It got just dropped, which happens in DUI cases, but it just generally doesn't happen when you refuse to take a blood test or a breathalyzer, like in Oregon. Yeah. That's like an automatic.
Yeah.
And it also generally doesn't happen when you're driving the wrong way on a one way and you're speeding by like 40 miles an hour. I'm not saying that Pullman is a college town, but Pullman might be a college town.
Usually the reckless driving going with the DUI makes it so the DUI doesn't go away.
They just dropped everything. You want to know what? You want to know what? It was dark that night. I could see how you drive the wrong way on a one way going 70 and a 35. I could see that.
I just remember that, man. Broke and then he was playing. I was like, what happened? I thought he was done for at least a while.
Yeah, nope. They dropped it in August. Weird.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Coaching leadership. Having personal relationships with the police in your small town. That's like coaching leadership.
It's funny because like Eugene is obviously not LA, right? And the Pac-12 in general kind of works. I'll take a tail, sucks. The sunset. But the Pac-12 kind of warps what a college town is, right? Because there's Seattle, Bay Area, LA, Phoenix, Denver, Salt Lake City, blah, blah, blah. But like, people say Eugene is a college town. That's fine. I'm not saying they're wrong there. Pullman is a college town. Pullman is like every Big 12 city outside of Austin. Like, it's just 32,000 people. And that's including the university.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, and 15,000 of them are employed by the university.
Yeah, so shocker that Jane DeLora got off.
Yeah, right. All right. Shall we get into the Cal game?
Let's do it. I want to say that I was reminded today, and I had thought about it a few times in my head, from Charles in Phoenix. After the Fresno game, I made a little quip about, you know, people were so excited that Mario Cristobal came from Alabama and hired a strength coach, came from Bama and Georgia, and they were instilling that SEC fourth quarter routine in the weight room. You want to know what people are mad about now? Oregon being good in the fourth quarter.
I'm not saying
the games are pretty.
Right.
I'm just saying they're pretty good in the fourth quarter. Somehow.
They are very good in the fourth quarter. The problem is they are only good in the fourth quarter.
listen, that rep in March doesn't happen unless you're really adhering to the fourth quarter. I mean, if Aaron Feld wasn't in there, you know, shooting a Snapchat vid, are you going to hit that final squat? I don't know.
Oh, no.
Fourth quarter program, baby.
Aaron Feld gets like $1 million a year to like Snapchat videos and then keep people back on the sideline. It's fantastic. Yeah. And have a mustache.
Hey, he saved them a penalty against Ohio State.
He did. He absolutely
helmetless Barone McKinley.
Absolutely. I mean, Verone McKinley was trying to do the NFL turnover celebration where you run all the way down to the other side of the field and take a and pose for a picture. He's like, No, can't do it. Can't do it.
I say, though, Feld is kind of the face of the football team out, you know, outside of the actual season. I mean, yeah, for absolutely. You know, 6 months of the year, he's about the only, you know, stat you fucking see on social media.
Buys and tries. Get that juicy pump in, baby. You guys ever got a juicy pump in?
Yeah, man. I get a juicy pump in several times a week. What do you mean? What do you mean? Are you getting shit from the bleachers?
Damn. Hey, your old scoffed at my juicy pump. TikTok is ruined kids.
Yeah, ruining the youth. Come on, kid, get a juicy pump in. What?
Maybe not at that age.
Yeah, maybe, okay, fair enough. gross. All right, so I'd like to start by noting, just real quick, we don't have to talk about it, anything beyond this, but Cam Lewis hit a 49-yard field goal casually. I feel like we mention this every week. He keeps pushing the bar back and back and back, and he's nailing it. He has not missed a kick this year. I feel bad for saying that because he's definitely going to this week because I said that, but he has been fantastic.
Most improved player in the country.
In the country, by far. He lost his job last year because he was so terrible the year before.
Did him hitting that 49-yarder casually make you second guess in the next possession where they went for it on it? I think it was 4th and 6 when it would have been a 50-yard field goal. Are you that confident in Camden Lewis where you were six. Like, oh, you got to kick it. Get 3. It's automatic.
6 yards is outside Anthony Brown's range.
Well, it clearly was. I think he threw it 2 yards. Yeah, maybe 3 yards past the line of scrimmage.
I don't recall ever seeing a game with someone not throwing it to the sticks as much as he did, especially on 3rd down there. Because they were in a lot of 3rd and 7s, 3rd and 9s to 3rd and 6s, and every single one was not just short, but
well short. To a generally covered guy.
Yeah.
Like, again, this is a you problem. You're expecting him to throw it beyond 5 yards. He's not going to do it. He's not going to. So again, like it's if it's 8 yards to go.
Okay, well, so
you better hope the receiver makes a play is all I'm saying.
So what run you're ball, saying is we got to start kicking 50-yard field goals.
Okay, all right. You know what? Kick him until he misses one. You know what I mean?
No, that might not last long.
Is there a situation where you would be fully confident in Cam Lewis?
No.
Even though he has been the most improved player in the country. Never confident.
Nope.
It's so fucked up, but it's true.
I know. It's true. Who do you have less confidence in? Honestly, Camden Lewis from 25. No, okay. Camden Lewis from 30.
He's money from 25.
Camden Lewis from 35 or Anthony Brown on 4th and 2.
Give me Camden.
Yeah, I'll take Cam.
40.
Give me that Cammy Cam juice.
Inside 50, I'm taking Camden.
No, you are not. Yeah, if I get you to 40, you are taking 4th and 2.
Is Anthony Brown throwing the ball on that 4th down?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Anthony Brown.
What do you want to run, Steve? You want to run that speed option to the outside where you're going to pitch?
He's going to miss the pitch.
That's the new 4th down. The new 3rd and 5 and 6 should just be a draw. That's it. Just hand the ball off to die. I mean, hopefully you get it.
Speaking of which, by the way, we cannot go this podcast without talking about the victory formation play to end the game. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen a football team do, is from the 2-yard line, take a snap from pistol and then have Anthony Brown run up and fall down, nearly like tearing the ACL of his left tackle. What the fuck was that?
I mean, in fairness, a constant criticism for 10 plus years for Oregon is never running a play under center. So that is from Chip to Health to Florida State legend Willie Taggart.
Alabama coach.
It's just a thing.
First of all.
But good God, man. Like, in that situation, just run it under center and have him just fall down.
Literally fall down.
Just like, fall down. Just
Cal's,
get it, secure it, fall down.
Cal's not going to try. The game is over. A safety does nothing. Like, Cal is going to let you fall down and take that snap. It was so embarrassing to watch. And they asked Anthony Brown about it this week. And he said, yeah, we don't take snaps under center ever. We have never taken snaps under center.
How?
Like, never? Like, have one play. Have two plays. I tell you what, have two plays.
Two plays.
Victory formation, quarterback sneak. That's it.
That's it.
How about a third string quarterback that, you know, came out of, you know, from a under specialist. Center out of high school at least?
Give me Robbie Ashford with the victory formation specialist play. Yeah. Give me that. Ugh. That was so terrible. And to come right after, like, the defensive stand, too, where it was a great defensive stand, by the way. It really was. Like, essentially two series inside the 10. Like, fantastic work. And then to follow it up, like,
Can we just say, did Kayvon Thibodeau in that second half maybe have the best one half of defensive Oregon football single player ever?
It was so it was,
I think, 11 pressures.
It was, yeah, Pro Football Focus did it. It was 24 like situations where he could get pressure and he got 11. It's amazing.
Kayvon has played two healthy halves all year.
Yeah.
And one was last week against Cal. And one was the first half, half against,
like,
Fresno.
Three plays? It's like three plays.
He was so good against Fresno.
Holy shit.
He's so good.
Can you imagine being the tackles for Cal? Like, you play the whole first half and you pretty much push guys around. Like, Cal's offense was sort of doing whatever they wanted. They didn't get a lot of points, obviously, but they were pushing guys around, man. And then Thibodeau comes in the second half and makes them look like high school tackles. Like, the shit he was doing to Cal's left tackle was like, if I were that dude, I'd be like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I don't want to play the rest of this game. I'm done. Like, I know what that says about me as a person, but I can't keep doing this. Like, this is going to end me, you guys. If you want me to play ever again, you need to let me not go against this guy anymore.
Yeah, no, if I was that left tackle, like, I'm looking at the coaching staff and being like, hey,
little help.
Can I get a little chip block behind me? Something? Right? Like,
I'm hitting that
chip. Can we run some 12 personnel here? Like, help me out.
Yeah. Can we bring in that dude who faked his recruitment and said he was going to Cal? Yeah. Can we bring in that kind of, like?
Because there were a few highlights from that game where the guy just had no chance.
No.
Yeah, you know, there were some where it was like, oh, he met him at the point of contact and lost. That happens. Mm. But there were a few where he just had no chance. And Kayvon just sprinted right by him.
Then there was one after he sprinted around him. He just took one step and went, like, hands right to the dude's chest and just put him on his back within half a second of the snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one where he made the quick move to get by the tackle and then from about 7 feet away, dove and tackled the quarterback was amazing. So that's part of the tragedy of the first half of this Oregon season. Like, that's part of the thing that, like, looking back on it, like, really sucks about it. You know, out of all the injuries, like, the fact that we have been, like, deprived and had Kayvon Thibodeau stolen from us because of a fucking ankle injury sucks.
Well, how about him getting ejected at the end of the Stanford game? Think he might have helped for like the 10 plays they ran, you know, in the red zone to score? I mean, they threw it
maybe
every
just
turn.
A bit. Maybe, yeah, maybe bit. Just a bit. A
little bit.
And that was, that one was, I still don't know how he got ejected from that. That stem might be the worst one I've seen in a player getting ejected.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. Let's not go back to Stanford. Let's not do that. Let's not do that to ourselves.
Yeah, Stanford looked real good after they beat us too.
Of course. Of course.
Of course. They got their one upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how the Pac-12
They're good
works.
For the year. They're good for the year.
Exactly. Shaw, extend him 5 more years and be the third high paid coach.
It's like $9.8 million a year. We're earned on that one win. Good for them.
What would it take for them to fire David Shaw?
No.
I think he ever happened.
Joe Paterno.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I really don't see that happening with David Shaw.
No, I don't either.
Call me crazy. God, at Stanford. Could you imagine that situation happening at Stanford of all places? Jesus.
Like, going back to the Cal game, is a lot of people were really frustrated with Oregon's secondary and pass defense and whatever. And then you look at the stats and it's like they threw for 245 yards on 45 attempts. And I know it sucks to watch. I get it. Two high safeties, give them the underneath stuff, beg them to go 17, play drives. It sucks to watch. I get it. It's easy to say bend but don't break. But it's weird for me because I'm, on Saturdays I watch Oregon and on Sundays I watch Kansas City. And so for a year plus 2 years now, my team on Sunday, the opposition has been praised for going two high safeties and making them go 15-yard drives to score.
That's why Kelsey is the best statistical tight end ever.
And like, granted, obviously, like Oregon doesn't have Pat Mahomes. I mean, no one Oregon is facing has Pat Mahomes. I get that, but it's my brain has to like detach Saturday to Sunday because DeRuiter runs that same stuff, and probably part of it is because they have no linebackers.
Yeah.
And the defensive line has not been the same since the Fresno State game.
But that's what I don't get is, the linebackers are very suspect in coverage on top of being hurt. Why give them a 10-yard cushion then? Because that's just free little quick slants all day.
See, my thing is, do you want to blitz and leave guys on islands? And if they get burnt, do you trust your quarterback to make that up?
Well,
see, no. I don't. That's why I don't – I don't know how to quite gauge it yet. But I'm okay with it right now because I don't trust Anthony Brown to score 42 points in a Pac-12 game. And granted, I know that's not all him, but.
Do you trust him to score 27 and over in a game?
Yeah. I mean, the weird stat is they still lead the league in points per game.
I know.
It can't happen.
It's dumb.
I'll just put it out there. We don't have to go into it, but like our point from, I want to say it was like a month ago where we asked the question, are we as Oregon people too hard on quarterbacks? Like, are our standards too high simply based on what we've seen? So I'll just put that out there because the statistics, and I know after a year after Tyler Shuck being the best statistical quarterback ever is tough,
right.
But the numbers for defense and the numbers for, Brown, they're not terrible with the exception of the completion percentage, but, Oregon does only have that one loss that frankly they were had stolen from them. Winning.
Brown sucks. We can say
stats. Every quarterback in the country is making the completions he does. Every other quarterback, put any other quarterback in the country and the exact completions he has made, they are making those, but they are actually going to make the completions that he just doesn't throw deep, or he just throws a shitty ball that, a 10-yard pass.
Did you flip your shit when he completed that one up the sideline to Devin Williams? Like the back shoulder throw?
What?
He can do that?
No, that was the
touchdown to like Red was kind of a needle too.
Out of nowhere.
The one to Red was actually a good throw.
It was a dime.
Amazing.
The one over the shoulder was kind of just I'm gonna throw it out there, and because it was nowhere close to being intercepted. It was
perfect.
He's not gonna It's he's either going to catch this or it's going to be an incomplete.
It's perfect.
And the guy had a diving catch for it.
No, the Devin Williams back shoulder one up the sideline. No, that was like perfect. It was like thrown.
Thinking of the Johnny Johnson.
I'm thinking of Johnny Johnson diving.
The most incredible catch in the history of football.
That one was luck. I mean, I'll take it all day.
Yeah,
but I think that Johnny Johnson catch was A, luck on the throw. B, luck on the catch, and C, luck on the review, because I don't know.
Oh, okay. By the way, like, Brown throws at any better, he's still running. Yeah. Like, he had the guy beat so bad. And the catch, like, I don't know if I've seen NFL guys, so it's hyperbole, but I'm like, I don't know if I've seen better, stronger hands on a catch before. Like, I also don't think he actually caught it. I'm not really one. The ball didn't. It was weird because he had it in his hands. It surely hit the ground, but it didn't move at all. And so that's what I mean about the hands thing. And it could be a catch. I don't know. And whenever the Pac-12 refs make a decision, I second guess it immediately. So I don't know if they're right. I don't know what rules are anymore with Pac-12.
Well, usually refs. I tend to think they're wrong. So
exactly.
I think it wasn't a catch.
So, yeah, I mean,
and I by the way, and on that note, real quick, just the fumbles in the game too, right? Like the fumble where the Cal guy recovered it while he was laying out of bounds. And then there was another one later. I'm spacing it. Oh, yeah, the one where Brown was, like, running, and he put the ball on the ground and lost it, and then Cal recovered it. I thought if you put the ball on the ground like that, it's, like, down. Like, I thought that meant you were down. Maybe not, but I thought the ball being on the ground meant you were down. And so now, so these are rules I thought 100% were rules, especially laying out of bounds and recovering the football. That's a rule, right? Like, am I going crazy? And then the Pac-12 refs ruled them both fumbles. And so I don't know what to believe with the rules anymore. Like, those aren't fumbles, right? Am I going crazy?
I think the reason they called the Anthony Brown one a fumble is because he put it on the turf on his own volition.
So is that the rule? So if you do it yourself.
Yeah, it's almost akin to him just dropping it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I had to look it up too.
I thought if it was still attached to you, like, and it touches the ground, it's down, right?
But yeah, I could be wrong, but I did look it up, and I feel like it's because he did it on his own volition.
Okay,
it counts as a fumble.
I'll buy it. Sure. The first one though, like laying out of bounds and recovering the ball, like if you're out of bounds, it's
he was definitely out of
bounds. You're out of bounds. The ball is therefore out of bounds. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't even know. Throw my arms up. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say that Johnny Johnson on that catch, he had the Jillian hands that Seinfeld dated.
Oh, the man hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, grown man hands.
She could. Johnny Johnson on that catch could crack a lobster claw like real easy.
Crack a walnut with one hand. You should tweet him that. Man hands. Or no, what's his deal? He's a vlogger, right? Or is that Pittman?
That's Pittman, yeah. He's Pittman. A vlogger. Yeah.
Okay. I get these things mixed up nowadays. So Travis Dye had a very good game. That was nice to see. First game, you know, post the Verdell injury, Dye being the guy. He was pretty much unstoppable the entire game. Which, you know, kind of made it interesting. They went away from him for sort of the middle part of the game a little bit. So,
I mean, the whole third quarter where they had like 12 yards of offense.
What is with the third quarter, man? Like, what is with Oregon in third quarters? I don't know. We used to make a huge deal out of that. Like, I remember, like, Chip would have slow third quarters sometimes. Like, Blotty was sort of known for that. And now
that's usually on the coaches, right? Because, I mean, if there's kind of adjustments that's happening, it's happening at halftime there for the third quarter. And I don't know if Mario and them do anything.
It is funny, though, that with Mario not being particularly great point differential wise in the third quarter.
Yeah.
People are like, what a dummy. Go to Miami, Mario. We don't need you. When Chip Kelly was getting outscored in the third quarter, like, eh, listen, he's just playing chess. Muhammad Ali, he played rope-a-dope. Sure, Cal went up 10-0 in the third, you know. He's just feeling it out. He's just Chip, we love Chip.
The difference is Oregon would have scored like 24 points in the first half before that happened. So
I'm just saying we allowed Chip some leeway. That is funny looking back at it.
Yes, we did. Speaking of point totals, that is apparently the most Oregon has scored against Cal in 4 years, which is also interesting.
It's
almost like Wilcox knows something that everybody else doesn't know. But so I guess we should be happy that Oregon scored the amount of points they did.
I mean, Chip would have scored even more. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
How much longer does Wilcox last?
He's a cow. He'll last for a while. They have no money. It's like the number two public institution in the world, and they have no money.
You don't see any way that would he? I guess I was gonna say, would he leave the head coaching job to be the DC?
No,
to get a better head coaching job later.
No,
that'd be such a crazy move.
Well, I mean, if you want a better head coaching job, you need to get the fuck out of Cal.
No,
he's stepping down for the future step up.
He's making millions of dollars a year to live in the Oakland Hills with no pressure. Right. Why would you quit?
Yeah, he still can't afford
strive to.
He still
to
can't
lead
afford
a good program.
There.
I don't know.
He actually lives in like Central California, by the way. He commutes because he still can't afford to live there. Craziness. Yeah, Berkeley's not out there spending billions of dollars on two indoor practice facilities. Right. So the new indoor practice facility is essentially replacing the outdoor field, right?
I kind of don't get this move, to be honest.
The mock I saw, that's what it looked like.
It's
looks
weird.
Like it's putting a little dome on it.
So is there no outdoor practice facility anymore except for Autzen, I guess?
That's what it seems like. The top part kind of looks like they could open it up though, right?
No, I think it's like the SoFi or the Allegiant Dome where it's like that translucent.
By the way, why doesn't Oregon have a retractable dome indoor practice facility? Like, why not? If they're spending this much money on an indoor practice, I cannot say those words together. Indoor practice facility, like put a retractable roof on it. Why not?
I love how they came out and say it's for like all student athletes for it. It's like, who else is going to use that really?
No.
Baseball maybe?
No, they're soccer? Kicking everyone else in the Mashovsky Center. Yeah. They're like, listen, dicks, you impeded on us enough, so we're building this $500 million structure. You cannot come in. Have fun in this 27-year-old facility, you pores.
Do you see the new uniforms? They're busting out.
Yeah, they're weird.
They're weird.
I don't get the concept.
I think they're cool. I like them.
They'll look fine on the field.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'd probably look better at night, but I think they look cool. I don't know.
Or those little flex have some like sparkle in them or something. I don't know.
Because I thought when
like
they released
like the glitter helmets back in the day.
Yeah.
Like when they released the fan gear picture the other week, I thought they were going back to like the 2018 look against UCLA, where it was the Jumpman thing, and the little speckles were like the Air Jordan 4 cement. Look,
mm-hmm.
No, it's just, I don't know, knockoff cookies and cream ice cream.
Absolutely.
What were they trying like to push that cream. It was like a mallard egg pattern? Is that what I thought?
I don't think they tried to push that. No? I think right. Someone else, I saw that. It was,
someone
I don't
just
know,
fucking someone reaching real deep
yes.
for that.
Yes,
paint splatter uniforms, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. They're fine.
Yeah, serviceable. I had a buddy say they don't even notice the uniforms anymore. Like Oregon's uniforms are different every game. And they're so used to it at this point that it's like, oh, I don't even,
Well, as long as recruits,
yeah,
do, that's it. I guess that's the only thing.
As long as they get those fire emojis in the Instagram pictures, good to go. I've kind of purposefully not brought up the Brown booing situation. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on it?
I don't think booing a college kid is a mortal sin.
Yeah.
And if you're in the student section as a student, that is your peer, I don't really have a problem with that. If you're like a 54-year-old electrician making with two kids, it's kind of lame.
Yeah, it's not a good
It's not a mortal sin. I'm not going to, fangate and say you got to do this and that, but kind of lame.
It is. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I'm not going to like stand on a pedestal and say you're a fake fan, bad person. I mean, it's a bad look on you if you're booing a college kid. I fully understand why you're doing it. Like I was frustrated just like you were. Fully understand your frustration with the offense. I kind of think the same thing about the students too. Like if I'm a 19-year-old kid booing a guy who's 4 years older than me, who's playing quarterback, I feel okay booing him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have a problem seeing that.
That guy's in your chem class. Boo his ass.
No, he's like way older than you. Like you can boo him. Like, do your thing. Brown, by the way, for his part, said the only time he heard it was after the third down, when he threw the worst ball ever.
If there's ever time to boom, it was that exact play.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the only time he heard it. Ryan Walk said it motivated their offense. And that is clearly true, because in the fourth quarter, after the third down, when he got booed, they went down and scored twice.
I mean, so I believe it was a James Crepia article today.
Crepia, called by the Oregon staff. Yeah. I always laugh every time I hear that.
I think Anthony Brown has like the highest QBR in the fourth quarter in the nation this year.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Insane.
So you're saying that Ty Thompson should play the first three quarters and then bring him in the fourth?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Play a different guy every quarter. Start the game with Ty, then you got Butterfield in the second, Robbie Ashford in the third. You need a little electricity out in that third quarter, right? So put the baseball player out there.
Speaking of Ashford, yesterday I was listening to Canzano's show because I wanted to hear his Rolovich takes, because he has an in with Wazoo, because he had an in with Mike Leach. And like the first three calls were Rolovich, Rolovich, Rolovich. And then someone sneaks in with a call saying, "Trust me, Robbie Ashford, he's Lamar Jackson. I watched him in the scrimmage. He's Lamar Jackson." Why are we so dumb?
Yes, I know. Oregon fans are so dumb.
Granted, I will say Lamar Jackson has probably as many touchdown passes this year as Anthony Brown, but that's not neither here nor there. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think Robbie Ashford has the legs of Lamar Jackson.
Nope.
I'll go with a no on that one. All right, let's get to one of our things. Want to do bets? Let's do lines. Did you post that on Twitter, Ski?
No. I even have a graphic. I need the stats, man. I have a graphic for it.
Jesus.
Before we do lines, let's spend 3 minutes on Blazers opening night.
The season is over.
The season's over, right?
It's funny, like before we started, Ski and I were talking about that, how like we were gonna not talk about it.
No, just the season's over, right?
No, do you talk about the Blazers. Ski and I will sit here and wait for lines.
I watched 0 seconds of the game, so
yeah, same.
I watched every second because I was like, I will watch every second of Damian Lillard, who was voted or not. Voted, well, is that the right word?
Selected.
He's a top elected.
Yeah.
He's a top 75 NBA player of all time as it came out today. So I will watch him on opening night.
It's a big deal.
Yes, that is a very big deal. And then I don't care until they make a trade. So the Blazers have a top 75. He's going to get the pop and circumstance. He's going to be stamped forever because of this. And I don't care about them until they make a trade. If they don't get Ben Simmons, I do not give a fuck. Do not give a fuck about the Blazers.
I saw the
If I get that alert, and saw
CJ led them in scoring and was like, oh, that's about right. Yep.
If I get that ESPN alert, like I did with Steph Curry tonight, saying, oh, they're cooking 25 points in the first quarter, I will turn into a Blazers game. Until they trade for Ben Simmons, I will not watch them until otherwise. I don't care. I do not care. It is the same fucking garbage. Nurk fucking sucks. I think Nurk is going to get his way out of town here soon. I think he's the first guy traded because he thinks so highly of himself, and Nurk is a fucking bum. Nurk is a bum. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he shattered two legs and then COVID and broken wrist. No, Nurk is a bum. The Blazers are bums. Neil O'Shea is a bum. Whatever the hell that Allen, Peggy Allen, Judy Allen, Joyce Allen, Tim Allen. I don't give a Josh Allen. I don't care which Allen that is. Bum. The Blazers are bums. If you saw the opening Rose Garden, well, Moda Center opening, there was no one there because we all know they're bums. Damian Lillard's great. The rest of the teams are bums. Until you trade for Ben Simmons, Neil O'Shea, I don't want to hear from you. No more Blazer talk. Let's go. Move on.
Real quick. I did see their highest rated lineup during the games was with Nance and Zeller. So shocker where you actually get some guys with some height that's above 6'3", that the team plays a little better defense and can open a little more things up. I mean, just saying.
He said we're done.
We're done.
Just saying.
Lions.
The bright spot was Cody Zeller. Let's move on.
Yes.
Next topic.
All right, Lions.
Lines.
Oh. Lines, lines everywhere. Lines. Doing lines and Ski's not posting lines.
And this is just for King and the unprecedented, you know, feat here. Back-to-back winner is me. I had 5 points.
Allegedly.
Braga, you had 4 points.
No way to really and tell you, for sure because you're not posting them.
Well, then I'm not going to tell you that you take over the lead from King.
Who's holding Ski accountable?
Right.
Okay. Need oversight.
Back-to-back weeks. I did really good. Wink, wink.
Huge weeks. So now, yeah, Braga's got 37. King of 36. I have 32. Creeping up on you guys. So.
Creeping on a come up.
First game, we got Washington traveling to Arizona. Washington, 17.5 point favorite.
Give me the dogs.
Yeah, that's tough. Arizona's really bad, but Washington getting 17.5. I'll take Washington. Yeah, Arizona's like next level awful, obviously.
And I think Arizona's on their third string QB now.
They are, yeah.
So give me that third string QB. I'm taking the 17.5.
Oh, God.
Well, does Washington score more than 24 points?
Do they need to? Did you watch Arizona versus Colorado last week?
They'll sneak a touchdown in there to cover.
They didn't last week.
24. No,
make it your right. star game, you coward.
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 Coward. Coward.
All right. Next game, Colorado at Cal. Cal, 8.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I got Cal. Yeah.
I think I got Cal.
Colorado can't score points. Can't.
Well, I'm taking the Buffs, tough Buffs. This is the make or break week this week, it looks like already.
Yes, it is.
All right, next game we got BYU at the Cougs. BYU, 3.5 point favorite.
How have they not played every Pac-12 team yet? I don't understand this.
All right, Ski, you pick first.
Is that five?
You keep leveraging us.
Serious question. Is that five Pac-12 teams they've played this year? BYU?
Got to be close. It's Arizona, Arizona State, Utah.
Yeah, they beat like the entire Pac-12 South already.
Yeah. Sorry. So I am star picking BYU 3.5.
I also have BYU in this. Washington State was playing with a lot of emotion last week, and they're not going to have that same emotion this week.
I have BYU as well, but I also want to mention that my star pick was a UW covering.
Is the Dubs?
Yeah.
All right. Next game, we got Utah, and we got the Beavs. We got Utah as a 2.5-point favorite traveling to Corvallis.
I got the Beavs with the points.
I got Oregon State as well. That is my star pick.
All right. I got the Beavs as well. I don't know how they – I see them winning, so.
Yeah.
All right. Then our throat – that's a pretty rough week for a throw-in game. So I went with San Diego State at Air Force. And we got Air Force as a 2.5-point favorite.
All right, break down Air Force for us, Ski. give us your rundown of that Air Force offense.
Wait, scratch that. This is next. There is one more. USC at Notre Dame. Forgot about that.
Okay.
Notre Dame 6.5-point favorite against the Trojans.
Notre Dame.
I got Notre Dame as well.
I think USC wins this game.
Ooh. Wow.
I mean, that's not my bet. I'm picking USC against the points, but yeah, I think USC.
Run of touchdown, ooh. Jesus?
Damn. Yeah, baby. SC plays up and when they feel like it.
All right.
Sometimes. Maybe.
Do they?
Within-term coaches.
Within-term coaches. All right, now back to the San Diego State Air Force game.
Yeah, let's break it down. Let's go.
Tell
me about those Aztecs.
I don't know. They're ranked.
That is my pick.
And that's why I took them also because they're ranked.
Yeah, I'm going with the Aztecs because Brady Hoke. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be 70 degrees in Colorado Springs. That is very San Diego weather. Even though San Diego State isn't actually playing in San Diego this year. They're playing in Carson. But whatever.
All right, and then
if they can make the drive, Rolovich and Washington State can make the drive, right?
Right.
All right. Last game, Arson. Ducks at UCLA. UCLA, the 0.5-point favorite.
That line has been all over the place.
It has.
It went from Oregon -3 to UCLA -3, and from -2 to what? Now it's down to 0.5.
I'm sure come Saturday morning, it's going to get pushed one way or the other, too.
Oh, it'll get pushed to UCLA. No doubt.
Get UCLA's way?
Absolutely.
All right, we're good. Well, I'm taking UCLA. I can't back the Ducks again. I don't think I've hit on them yet this year. So give me UCLA.
I also pick UCLA.
Oof.
I think UCLA beats Oregon. I think they would have beat Oregon last year if not for that ridiculous pick six by Happel to end the first half. I think they pushed Oregon around last year, man. And I think they do it again. I don't know. And I don't have confidence in Oregon's offense to score points.
I do love how people are like, you want to know what? UCLA would have won last year if that wasn't for that play in the first half.
I literally just said that.
No, everyone says that though.
Yeah.
I've heard that many times before.
I felt that while I was watching it.
If it wasn't for that first half play, UCLA would have dominated the second half. I don't know why that play in the first half precluded them from dominating the second half, but I just feel like it did.
Quarterback leadership, Tyler Shuck, obviously. Yeah. That's why Oregon pulled it out.
Where are you wearing that hat for a reason, King, or what?
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, dude.
Yeah?
Mario Cristobal, 5-1 against top 10 teams. But UCLA is not a top 10 team. Mario Cristobal, undefeated against Washington. Mario Cristobal, undefeated in L.A. The Oregon football team rises up and they play down. They rise up and they play down. They're going to win on Saturday straight up. They're going to beat UCLA. Why? Because it's just going to frustrate the fuck out of all of us when next week they play Colorado and win by 7.
Yes.
Fair. I got but the Ducks.
I will side note this. My super like triple star lock is UCLA first half cover. Like I said, Ducks might win the game. UCLA is going to get up 10 in the first half.
No, if UCLA gets up 10, I don't know if Oregon can win.
All game's over. Oregon's winning a track meet against UCLA.
Well, I'll just say so. By the way, UCLA, UCLA is
10 points for this Oregon offense is a track meet. So,
oh my gosh, you guys are Jesus! I just give up. I give up. You guys are clearly in that camp. You'd rather lose aesthetically pretty than win ugly. I just give up. Go root for Texas Tech. You guys just want some zany, wacky offense. You want to know what? I'll take 24-17 over Cal because that's how football's played.
Hey, win's a win.
Is DTR fully healthy? Because did he get banged up a little last week?
Does it matter?
Well, if they have a different quarterback in, then I want to double down on UCLA. And he's not playing.
He'll play.
All right, then it's going to be a close game.
Of course it'll be a close game.
Well, not
does Mario play team. Anything but close games?
We are clearly just talking shit, by the way. Like, if UCLA doesn't have DTR, they don't have a chance. Like, DTR, like, so I know we like to talk shit about DTR, but when he's really, really good, their offense is unstoppable. And, you know, most of the time he's not really, really good. He's just sort of average. And even then, their offense has been pretty unstoppable this year.
Well, so. are they top three in the country in rushing yards?
Remember when he was going back and forth with Hayner a few weeks ago? The look on King's face.
He caught that L.
He did.
I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, just because King Hayner couldn't be matched. All right, that's all the games. What is our list? Let's do our list.
Because this week is the most singular, insufferable, in just excruciating, vomit-inducing week every year as a Duck fan. UCLA week. Because of the fawning, the groping, the stroking. Finger pointing of Chip Kelly that goes on. Our list is your top three Oregon Ducks losses with Chip Kelly.
Boing. I asked the question when you came up with this list, did Chip Kelly have three losses with Oregon? He did. I think he had like seven. Was it seven? Yeah, seven total. I will start. My number three, 17-14 to Stanford. Get a block, D'Anthony Thomas. Get a fucking block. Zach Ertz.
That's my number three as well.
Zach Ertz, still out of the end zone on that catch. Still out of the end zone. They reviewed it. Still out of the end zone. Review it again. Still out of the end zone. I can review it right now on YouTube. Still out of the fucking end zone. Not a touchdown. Fuck that game. And the worst part about it is Oregon scored 14.
Yes.
Really? 14 points? Come on. Also, fuck Stanford.
Ooh, new sound effects. Nice.
I like it. Very cool.
Well, my number three is from September 3rd, 2011. Oregon went into Jerry's World and played an SEC team and they got blown out. Can you imagine an Oregon team going into Jerry's World and losing? I saw it a couple of years ago and I heard that was a fireable offense.
Fire
Mario. He lost in Dallas to an SEC team. He can't get it done.
Terrible. So you already did your three, right? That was mine.
Yep.
Two. Yeah. Okay. My two, 2011, 38-35 loss to USC. Maldonado's missed 37-yard field goal.
went on to win the Rose Bowl, but they had a chance to get back in the title race if they had kept winning, because Oklahoma State had lost that day and they were number two. But Maldonado. Yeah. Anyway, I feel bad even saying that.
All right, my number two is the 2010 Rose Bowl. Just because, mostly personal reasons, as I just got, I think I got three Ohio State Rose Bowl apparel sent from my family from Ohio. Oh, no. So,
oh no.
Yes.
It did suck. I thought Oregon was going to win that game. Looking back on it, getting beat by Terrell Pryor. Yeah, it's not great.
My number two Chip Kelly loss is that Stanford loss, because Chip Kelly had a quarterback play against Stanford who went 21 of 37 for 207 yards passing. Can you imagine an Oregon coach having a quarterback pass for 200 yards and losing to Stanford? I can't.
Bench him.
Gotta fire the coach.
Fire the coach. Bench the quarterback.
Kelly would never.
I like what you're doing. Is it my number one? Do you do your two? Okay. My one is Chip's first ever game as a head coach. The loss at Boise. 19-8. Oregon scored 8 points. And then Blunt got suspended because he punched Hout, which was great. That was actually the best part.
This is what Hout heard.
Did he run for the border?
It was just the quickest thing I found.
Honestly, that was one of the coolest things of the Chip Kelly era, was Blunt punching Hout. But that loss sucked because of the hype going into the season. Like, remember Ed Dixon said Boise State had an ass kicking coming in a Sports Illustrated article. They went out and scored 8 points. Got their shit handed to them.
All right, that's my number one, too. That game was so brutal.
Awful to watch. Yeah.
Well, my number one Chip Kelly loss was actually a Chip Kelly win.
Ooh.
In November 14th of 2010, Chip Kelly beat Cal 15-13 with a quarterback who threw for 155 yards, and they won.
What?
They only beat Cal because Cal missed a play on the final play of the game. Could you imagine another coach? If Mario did that, gotta fire him. Chip Kelly would never almost lose to Cal with a quarterback who threw for 155 yards. Chip Kelly's a genius.
I just want you to know I love what you did today.
God, Chip Kelly, God fucking horse.
What a bum. What a
Chip Kelly would never almost lose a cow. Never. Never.
What do you hate more?
Never rely on special teams.
What do you hate more, the continued love for Chipper or the Herbert love now in the pros?
They both irritate me, but it's the Chip one. Chip. It's the Chip one. I don't want Chip. Mario could be 9-0 against Chip, and people are going to be like, Chip would never almost lose to Cal. As Chip has lost like 9 times to Cal as the UCLA coach. Fucking losers.
Literally did. It took like a 9-minute drive to end the game at Cal, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. People love that shit, though, apparently. That was gritty. That was gutty.
Clutch. All right, let's do some very quick trivia. We got about 5 minutes left. We missed trivia last week because of technical issues. My Wi-Fi decided to stop working, period. Let's do some quick trivia. I got 5 UCLA questions. I also have 5 Cal questions, just in case, because we missed them. So who wants to start?
I'll start.
So I will give you the question. People have not listened to this before. You give what you think is the answer, and then the follow-up person gets 3 options in case you miss it. So who is the only person to win a Rose Bowl as a coach and a player for UCLA?
Rick Neuheisel.
That is incorrect.
Oh, I know it is.
That was gonna be my
damn
guess.
Damn it. All
right. Your options, Ski. Dick Vermeil, Terry Donahue, and Tommy Prothro.
I'm going to go Dick Vermeil.
It's Donnie, the answer
is Terry Donahue, as a
matter of fact. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Skeet, who is UCLA's only player to throw for 10,000 career passing yards?
Keeping that.
That is correct. King, this director is a UCLA alumni, famous for directing When Harry Met Sally and Princess Bride, among many others. Who is it?
Hans Zimmer.
What'd you say? Ron Zimmer?
Hans Zimmer.
Don Zimmer, the baseball
Hans player? Zimmer.
Okay, no, that is incorrect. Your options, Ski. Robert Zemeckis, Rob Reiner, Brian De Palma.
Reiner.
That is correct. Ski, your question. UCLA has only had one player drafted number one overall. Who is it?
Oh, man. J.J. Stokes.
Nope. Incorrect. I think he was a late first round pick by the Niners, if I remember right.
No, he wasn't. But
your options, King. Troy Aikman, Jonathan Ogden, Freeman McNeil.
Troy Aikman.
That is correct.
What was Ogden? Was he a two or three?
He was top five for sure. He wasn't one, though. so this is King, right? Yes, it is. What is the name of UCLA's mascot?
Joe Bruin.
It is Joe Bruin.
And I'm going to send you guys a picture that I saw today of Joe Bruin, a 90s redo of Joe Bruin that got unceremoniously dumped, just like RoboDuck. I just sent it to you guys.
Was it faster than RoboDuck? Did they actually?
I think it definitely is faster than RoboDuck.
All right, to Ski, we are now to Cal questions. Those were the five UCLA. Who is Cal's all-time leader in receptions with 205?
Keenan Allen?
That is the correct answer. He caught 205 passes in three seasons at Cal. That's fucking insane.
Was Damian Douglas number two?
It's like Jeff MacArthur or something
I remember that guy.
Yeah.
UCLA just going like the jacked Bruin.
See that? Jacked Joe Bruin.
Not your average Joe also. What a great tagline.
King. Who is Cal's all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns?
I'll just say by default, Jared Goff.
That is the correct answer. Skeet. Let's see how much time we got. Cool. I think we'll have enough time. This actor, famous for playing Captain Kirk in Star Trek, also played Steve Trevor in Wonder Woman, Jack Ryan in a Jack Ryan movie, graduated from Cal in 2002. Who is it?
Chris Pine.
That is the correct answer. Ski up 4-3. This is going down to the wire, boys. King, what is the name of Cal's mascot? I gave you both mascot questions.
Oski.
That is the correct answer.
Oski DePito.
Yes, absolutely that.
The pedo?
Yes, look him up. He is the pedo bear.
Look at a picture, yeah. All right, Ski, your chance here. This singer, one of the most famous people to ever appear on American Idol, sang the Ricky Martin song She Bangs really poorly. Left Cal to follow a musical career. What's the person's name?
Clay Aiken.
Incorrect. King, your options. Justin Guarini, William Hung, Jennifer Hudson.
William Hung. Like it's wrong. Yeah, baby. She bangs, she bangs. Suck that shit, Ski.